Welcome to the Third Generation Networking Podcast with your hosts, Debbie and Greg Peters. Welcome back, networkers, to the Third Generation Networking Podcast. I'm Greg Peters, the reluctant networker, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Debbie Peters, the networking guru, my retired business partner, and of course, my mom. Hi, Mom.
I'm glad you're remembering that, Greg. Hi.
I know. I make you work way too much.
I looked at my schedule today, and I am working all day long.
I know. I'm sorry. And a lot of that is literally working directly with me. So
it is.
We'll work on that and getting to you to cut back a little bit over time. Does that sound good?
A lot over time. Okay. That's about it.
Well, we are back this week with another of our all-star networking spotlights. These are the sessions where we open up our networking Rolodex to you so you can have access to the ideas, resources, and people who can make your life more successful and significant. Our guest today comes to us from the headquarters of the National Exchange Club. She is the first female CEO in the organization's 111-year history. She loves meeting people who are making a difference in their communities, sharing conversation over good food and wine, and of course, walking her beloved Shih Tzus. Please welcome Tracy Edwards. Hi, Tracy.
Hi, Greg. Tracy. Hi, Debbie. Great to be with you today. Thanks for having me on.
We're so excited.
Such a pleasure.
Yeah.
So, I know that many people have heard of the Exchange Club.
Oh, good.
Could you tell us, they may not know exactly what it is that the Exchange Club does. Perhaps you could start us out there. Maybe tell us a little bit about your own role within the club and tell us a little bit more about what National Exchange does.
Absolutely. Like most American service clubs, the National Exchange Club started more than 110 years ago. It was about the time all the groups were forming. And we were formed in Detroit by jeweler Charles Berkey. And it's so interesting, Greg and Debbie, because he brought businessmen, of course, together at the time to help each other grow their businesses. And when they were successful, they wanted to give back to the community and involve other people. So truly, we started as a networking organization, which I think is so fascinating and so relevant.
I didn't realize that. That is really interesting.
Definitely.
And was he right in Detroit or was he in the outer right in Detroit? Well, 111 years ago, there weren't any suburbs in Detroit.
That's true. That is true. And then in about the 40s, you know, they opened the headquarters right here in the Toledo area, right actually in Toledo. So from our national headquarters in Toledo, we serve more than 630 clubs and more than 18,000 members nationwide doing the great things they do in their communities.
Wow, that's a lot of clubs.
It is.
So how did you get involved?
You know, I have a strong member perspective and member background, which has been so awesome. My husband actually joined the Exchange Club of Toledo more than 20 years ago. His tennis partner was serving in my role at the time, actually. So it was pretty fun to see it in that role. And, you know, when Steve and I met and got married, we knew that community service would be an important part of our life. And we were looking for things to do and ways to give back. So he joined and we immediately got involved. And it was pretty neat because we could take our son to the events. You know, we could do spaghetti dinners and fundraisers and, you know, fun things as a family. So I got to know a lot about Exchange, and then timing, as they say, is everything. And Dave let me know that they had a position open and my company had just had a buyout. So I was taking some time off to just do some consulting and such. And I joined the staff, and just timing, as they say, is everything, because my plan was to stay for a short time and just work very few hours. And fast forward, here we are. So, you know, who knew, but I'm so thankful. I do feel like I have the best job in the world because I get to meet amazing people all over the country who are doing great things in the spirit of inspiring their community to become a better and more enjoyable and safer place. And then I come back to our headquarters and work with our national staff to support them with tools and resources to help them be, you know, make it easier to be a leader and make it more efficient to be a leader and more fun to be a member. So it's pretty awesome.
So what was your actual first job with Exchange? What were you actually doing?
Well, my background is in accounting. So I actually helped with some accounting tasks and then became the finance director and then was appointed to this role.
Wow. It's almost like I was walking down the street, minding my own business.
Yes, exactly. Pretty much. But it was such an awesome time. And I really enjoyed the organization and meeting the people and realizing their heart and just seeing the impact that we have. And I believe strongly in our model. I believe strongly in our future. And I see that our values of family, community, and country have really withstood the test of time. But knowing that, it's been so fun to make updates and change things in order to keep things current and relevant for our members. And that's what I'm most proud of. And that's the most fun part of this job, is taking this model that started 110 years ago and keeping it fresh and fun for people.
Okay. So now you at the headquarters, you're there to support all these hundreds of groups all across the country, right?
Absolutely.
Now, do the individual groups have their own mandates, or do you have a general purpose behind or a general a purpose that you focus on as a group?
That's a great question. We do. We have programs of service in Americanism, community service, and youth support. We also have our national project, which is the prevention of child abuse. We have an evidence-based model called Exchange Parent Aid that has been deemed effective. It really works in the prevention of child abuse, and we deliver that through 67 centers nationwide. And our clubs are pretty autonomous, Greg and Debbie, because within those areas of Americanism, community service, youth, and prevention of child abuse, clubs can do anything. So we encourage them to, get involved in your community, find out what your community needs, because it won't be the same in Cabo San Rojo, Puerto Rico, as it is in Toledo, Ohio. So work together to talk with your community leaders, find out what your community needs, and work on that. And fulfill that. And really, that is our product, the fulfillment of our mission and our motto. We focus a lot on the opportunities at the club meetings, but the club meeting is a way to deliver the mission in communities, which is really where the important work happens.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to ask, this is my jump in time, Greg.
Yep, yeah. I understand. Go ahead.
So back when you were the financial person, and all of a sudden they came to you and said, we'd like you to at least think about becoming the next leader.
Yes.
Do you think that they were looking for a woman at that time, or were you, you gained the credibility? I mean, what was it that, obviously the board was probably all men, wasn't it? At that point?
No, we had a couple women. Oh, but okay. funny story, when I was appointed, well, because we had our first female national president back in 2004. So we had already had some female leaders, and we did have women on the board. But it was funny that you should mention that, because when I was appointed, and the board, of course, voted to appoint me to the position, and afterwards, one of the male board members came out of the meeting and he said, now, that's a dark, dreary office that, you're in, just make it your own and, do whatever you want. And I said, oh, you're going to come in and it'll be all pink and purple and sparkly, right? So I don't know what they were thinking, but it was a historic time, because the person who appointed me, the national president, Sid Mobley, at that time, who is just amazing, he was our first African-American national president. So we truly made history that year when he appointed me. So it was just, a really exciting time to take a step forward in our model of service.
And of course, we know women are really great at networking.
Yes.
So I'm sure you brought a whole different, model to it.
Absolutely. And, nationwide, worldwide, I think service clubs first admitted women in 1983, all service clubs. So that's, we all worked together as we do. We all collaborate on things. And, it's amazing, because really that's not very long ago.
No.
So actually, this is a good segue into my next question, which is, you've talked a lot about community and networking and the importance of that. Can you recall a time in your past when a story about when you realized that networking was going to be vitally important to your future and your success?
Yes. In fact, I had the opportunity to take the Dale Carnegie course when I was 19 years old. not terribly long ago, right? So my my sister was 16 at the time. And, you know, we look back on that experience and talk about it a lot and think about how fortunate we were to have that experience at such a young age. So of course, everybody in the class was significantly older than we were, but we had such a great time. And they were from, you know, the local Jeep community and GM and Hydromatic and those places. So it was really eye-opening to us, but it just made me realize how important, how fun, how valuable it was to meet different people that I never would have met at any other time in any other situation. And so it was in that moment when I was 19, and then fast forward to exchange when we became involved in an exchange club. And I remember I looked around that room and I thought, you know, in no other situation would I have ever met this diverse group of people. And that's what's cool about it. And to bring that all together, I had an experience during the pandemic. You know, I'm so proud of Exchange and our national headquarters team because we were able to take our model virtually, like literally when the pandemic happened, we were all prepared to go online. So we got our clubs together and, you know, taught them and encouraged them to use Zoom to meet. And we also started calling our members just at random. We would just identify somebody from the database, pick up the phone, how are you doing? You know, we care about you because we do, and find out kind of what they needed. I remember I placed a call to a gentleman and he said that he had this beautiful story, which really impacted me and still does today, because he said that during the pandemic, he lived alone, had a job where he worked pretty much alone. And he did that in life too. He didn't have a large circle, but going to the Exchange Club meeting, he said, at this point, virtually, that's my lifeline. And I thought, wow, the impact of that, it just hit me. And honestly, I think about that every day. And that's what guides me in this, because I think for so many people, likely myself included, you know, this is what you do, and you could be good at networking and you could enjoy networking and you could, you know, enjoy the relationship aspect, which is life, right? So it's easy to sometimes take that for granted or not even think about it. So that statement, how important this was to him, caused me truly to think about it every day, because networking is relationships, which is life, right? People need that. And I saw how big that was, mostly in those three events in my life. But I love that that one happened recently to kind of bring it all together.
That's a great story. Yeah. I mean, the importance of our connections is mm-hmm. so huge.
Yes.
And especially when we're in times of crisis like that, I mean, being able to reach out and have those connections. Is truly
important. And to be able to, you know, reach out to someone and talk through something, to have that connection where you can say, I'm not alone, like that guy was, that, you know, he could talk out an issue probably.
Right.
I love this idea that you had to just reach out to members at random just to connect with them. I mean, that's, I think a lot of group, I know that, you know, with my experience, there's been a lot of groups that I've been speaking in front of that they're having a really hard time right now. I mean, they've come off of COVID and their membership is down and their engagement is down. And so I think you doing that, you reaching out and making it a personal connection, I'm sure has helped out your membership and your engagement.
Well, it definitely has. And that was our initiative, really engaging members, as it has been for a while, but engaging members in a new way. And truly, right now, the National Exchange Club is growing. So we've shown growth for the past few months. And we have our national convention coming up in July in Greenville. So we're on this track for growth by Greenville, which is really exciting and amazing. You know, it's a good time to join Exchange and a good time to just, people want to be involved in their communities, right? So we have a lot of excitement out there. The engagement has been huge. So it's really exciting to see that type of growth, especially now, to your point that, you know, it's been tough. Certainly, you know, it was tough for all service clubs and a lot of businesses during the past couple of years, but to see us rebound and to see our members really jump in and want to get involved and involve more people has been so fun.
Mm-hmm. Now you had a couple of, I've heard a couple of the ideas that you've had to maintain those connections. And of course we talk about networking here all the time. Mm-hmm. I would love to hear maybe two or three tips that you might have to that our listeners could use to improve their own networking.
Okay, sure. You know, I think adaptability is huge. I would say if we, the National Exchange Club, did one thing different than maybe another service club or association, it was really our ability to quickly adapt, to realize that change was needed, and to realize that it needed to happen quickly. So I would say adaptability and flexibility are huge. You know, if you're in a different situation and things may look different and you're not comfortable, and really, for a lot of people, networking is uncomfortable, right? So, you know, to remember that adaptability and flexibility are keys to that, like they are to so many things, is really important. And I think takes a focus, and also just, you know, approach it from the mindset that somebody else may need this. You may be helping somebody today. Like when I picked up the phone and phoned that gentleman, I had no idea what I was getting into with him, but it was amazing. And just thinking about every opportunity that you meet somebody as an opportunity to help them, maybe not that day, but maybe someday.
And can you imagine, back to that call, can you imagine what that meant to him to hear from you?
Right. I mean, well, it was super cool to hear the reactions of people, and you know, it made it more special, and we were all excited to do it. We would have meetings where we gave each other kind of our report back. Here's how it went for me today, who I talked to, what they thought. So it was a good feedback gathering situation too, because people had like an open door to tell us, what could we do better for you? What could we do more or less of to make your experience better?
No, I loved your idea of the whole adaptability thing too, because let's face it, things are changing all the time.
Yes.
You know, groups come in, groups go out, and you know, you have to be aware of and ready to change with those networking opportunities. When a lot of the local chambers decided to stop having, you know, in-person events, we went to virtual. And I know Mom, you know, she always recommends get on that chat box.
Yeah.
You know, that's your opportunity to connect with people. And actually, those are the same things as those side conversations you had, but you have to be ready to adapt to that new way of doing things.
Well, you're right. And you know what's cool about that? I appreciated her recommending that as well. I saw that on the meetings that I attended. And you know, that was similar to Exchange, as in a chamber or any networking group. The fact that when you go to most of those live events, you sit at a table and you're with maybe those eight people. And sometimes those eight people you might already know. The feedback that we received from the Zoom meeting was, you know, in service clubs, like a lot of organizations, people sat with the people they knew and they were comfortable with. And they loved talking to somebody now that they had never even met in their own club or previously didn't sit by. So it just continued to expand their network via this virtual environment, which I don't think any of us expected. But yes, to see it come to fruition like that was super cool. And to hear feedback from people connecting with different people that they normally would not have.
That sounds like another tip right there. Talk with new people.
Exactly.
That so now you are obviously part of the National Exchange Club. Are you part of any other networking organizations?
Yes, definitely. You know, I belong to the American Society of Association Executives, the Ohio Society, the Toledo Hospital, ProMedica Association, probably a few others, you know, accounting groups and different things, chamber associations. I belong to a couple of our local exchange clubs, which is really fun to be able to give back in that way. I joined the one initially that's in Oregon, Ohio, because that's where I grew up and I wanted to give back and support that community. So it's just been fun to be involved in things that are in different areas, to be able to have a different type of support and involvement and engagement.
Wow.
Are you seeing the age of your membership average come down, or is it steady, or... And are they, if so, are they networking differently?
Oh, sure. You know, gosh, we could spend hours talking about this subject. So it's interesting, you know, being in an organization that is this seasoned, right, to 111 years. It's funny because somebody phoned our office the other day and asked if we would do something special for her father, who is going to be a 50-year member. And we thought, God bless him, but we have hundreds of 50-year members. I was at an, I was at an event where I recognized a gentleman for 70 years of membership. So, you know, and that amazes me too, is that thinking about that this has been part of somebody's life consistently for that mm-hmm. many years, it shows you again how important it is to people. And I just love that. But yes, definitely. So our average age has come down. A lot of our newer clubs that are being built are certainly more diverse in age and cultural backgrounds and those sorts of things. So the dynamic is certainly changing, and we're pretty intentional about that. And recognizing too, that if you have a club that operates kind of like with a certain model, and they might be drinking coffee and sitting around the table, and those members may be 80 years old, they may have a hard time attracting a 20-year-old, right? Mm-hmm. But we encourage our clients to, you know, you can generally network pretty effectively and converse pretty effectively 10 years up and 10 years down. So if they start there, rather than thinking, okay, my club needs a 20-year-old, that's probably not going to work. But if you just start branching out a little bit close in your, not just your age, but a lot of it is, where are you in life? You know, we know that people go through points where they're in college or starting a family or taking care of older parents. So age isn't everything. The most important factor that determines whether a person will join something is really where, what stage are you in your life stage. So it's important to think about that. And I do see that with our focus, and not just our focus at Exchange, but with a lot of organizations, for quite a few years, they wanted the millennials, and they were so focused on that that they missed what was right in front of them, which was kind of empty nesters, you know, people who their kids now are at college or now out of the house. And those were parents, moms, especially, who were so involved in their kids' school life and did all those things. And now they have all free time, likely a little bit more money, right? So, you know, let's get them involved. So I think sometimes we look past what's right there. So we're getting better at identifying who we should approach in clubs, and also how we make every club awesome so that it looks attractive for people to join.
So what do you see the younger age group or that different stage group doing differently as far as networking?
You know, fewer meetings for sure, or different types of meetings. You know, the original model for all service clubs was pretty much a lunch meeting. You know, you came to lunch, you ate lunch, you heard a speaker, talked about some business, went back to your office. With today's world, not everybody can do that, right? And it's hard for people to get away for lunch. Sometimes they need to drive, you know, 15 minutes each way. We're seeing happy hour clubs, weekend clubs, or even just meetings where they're focused not so much on a speaker, but focused, what kind of projects are we going to do? So we're noticing that, you know, the younger people tend to want more projects to do and fewer meetings where they're going to hear a speaker. So combining that together has been fun and interesting and challenging, and also just giving them the flexibility to operate their club meeting and their club model in a way that works for them. So from our national headquarters and leadership standpoint, we're not going to tell them, here's how you must run your club. Certainly we have bylaws and policies, and there's things they must do, but within that structure, be flexible and do what works for most of your members so that they enjoy the experience.
Mm. Sounds like one of those things that we need to add to our, how do you make a welcoming group talk?
Yes. Yes, yes. And you know, Greg, we're even thinking, welcoming is obviously super important, but then you get to the next step of belonging, right? Because we always say, if somebody feels welcome, that's great, but they need to walk out of that meeting thinking that they see themselves being part of this group, right? Mm-hmm. That they could belong to this group, truly belong. And that's difficult sometimes, with depending on how familiar those people are with their group already and how welcoming they are. But then do they take the next step and truly be inclusive and encourage that person to really belong in a way that is going to fulfill their needs for even looking at the group to begin with?
A lot of groups don't know how to do that.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You know, I know at the National Speakers Association, when we have new speakers coming in, one of the first things we'll tell them is welcome home. You know? Yeah. So it sounds like you've got a lot on your plate being the CEO of this national organization. What do you like to do when you're having fun?
That's a good
point. I mean, not that Exchange Club isn't fun, but what do you like to do for yourself?
It is, you know, it is so fun, and we do a lot of fun events. My thing is, when I come home, I love to cook. And fortunately, you know, my husband will eat anything, and he loves it. We have a good balance in terms of that. So we enjoy food and wine. I love to cook for friends and entertain and go wine tasting. And also, my husband's a musician, so his band happens to be playing at Put-in Bay this weekend. So when I can, I like to go out and do that. And as you mentioned, I have two Shih Tzus who I adore. I love to get them outside walking and spend time with my son who lives in the area. He also loves to cook. So we get together and cook things and talk and laugh, and it's super fun.
Wait a minute. It sounds like your personal life is all about connecting with the people you love. I mean,
absolutely. Yes, that is so true. So true. And I have two nieces. They're twins. They live locally too. So I spend a lot of time with them and my family. So yeah, it's just a lot of fun.
Well, marvelous. Okay. So tell us a little bit more. What do you see as the next steps forward for Exchange Club and for yourself?
Mm-hmm. You know, continuing to just be flexible and adapt and figure out what people are looking for when they join a club and helping those clubs really be awesome. You know, it's interesting because a lot of times the clubs ask us, what are we doing? You know, I remember somebody phoned me from Idaho. So I think about the state of Idaho a lot. And this is generally my example. A gentleman phoned me from Idaho and he said, "So Tracy, what are you doing to get a young person to join my club?" Wow, this is going to be an interesting conversation. How awesome is your club? Do you have children, grandchildren, neighbors? Do you work with a school locally? What does your club do? You know, what is their impact and how can you bring people into that? And so it lended itself to a really great conversation because it's interesting. With a national organization, certainly we create public awareness. We have an awesome website, public facing and member facing. It's currently being renovated, so it will be beautiful in a little bit. You know, but we just provide the tools and resources for clubs. And because they're autonomous to do what they want in their community, we help them with opportunities to connect and how to go about doing that. Because even if we were to advertise Exchange Clubs, right, and direct somebody to a club, I want to be able to assure that that club is awesome and is going to meet their need and attract that person to join. So it becomes really personal at that point, because like we just talked about, a new person needs to come to that club meeting, feel welcomed, and then leave seeing themselves being part of that. And so we help with a lot of tools and resources, but truly the dynamic happens at the club meeting. And how they can deliver the experience and help that person feel like they really belong.
Excellent. So did he see that by the end of the conversation, or was he still looking for the headquarter miracle?
Yes. A combination of both, let's say. Yes. You know, it's interesting because we get together with our friends in Rotary and Kiwanis and Lions frequently. We have a big event once a year where we go live and in person, and then I talk to them frequently. We like to say, you know, no matter what pin you're wearing, if you're doing something good in your community, God bless you. We need more of that. So, you know, we're very similar, of course, and we talk a lot about how to best deliver our experience to our members. And right now we just have a focus on taking it up a notch. We want every club to take it up a notch and, you know, look at what you're doing and really with an honest lens. And if you can't do that, have somebody come in and let you know how they felt coming to your club meeting or your club project. What could you do differently? What could you do better? What could you do to be more welcoming? Because sometimes people think they're doing that because it's easy to be there every week and see, well, I'm okay with this. But to get a different view is super important. And in order to make those necessary adjustments that should happen pretty frequently, right? To keep it fresh and fun for everybody.
That whole adaptability thing you were talking about.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely.
So if someone wants to find out more about National Exchange Club or they want to reach you, how could they reach out to you?
Well, our website, nationalexchangeclub.org, of course, is the main way we connect with people. We have a Facebook page. They could go to that. And of course, they're welcome to call our national headquarters anytime at 419-535-3232. And to learn more about Exchange, definitely Google it. You'll see that, you know, we're a leader in the service club industry and in the prevention of child abuse. And we have clubs all over the country and in Puerto Rico. So great organization. And I appreciate your interest and the opportunity to share.
All right, now one last question, unless mom decides to have more. But what's one piece of advice you've received over your experience that you would like to share with our audience?
I would say just, you know, to be open to anything. Just be open to anything. I think that's important. One of the best things my son has ever said to me was, "Mom, you're so open to things." And that's important, because if you close your mind or disregard something, you could be missing out on something that would be amazing. So I would say, you know, just be open to anything.
So it was your son that provided that, huh?
Yeah. Yes, actually.
That's so cool.
Right. He was in college.
Sometimes sons have good ideas.
Yes. That's true.
Well, Tracy, thank you so much for joining us today. Mm-hmm. We really appreciate your taking the time to chat and to help our listeners understand a little bit more about what's happening with National Exchange Club.
Thank you for the opportunity. I really appreciate the time.
Oh, of course. Of course. And thank you all for tuning into our program today. If you enjoyed it, please do comment on our Facebook pages. The information is in the episode notes. And share this with a friend. There are people out there who need to know all about the Exchange Club and need to know how they can become a part of it. If you'd like to hear more, of course, we do come back every single week. So do subscribe. And until next time, go out and make some great connections. Take care, Mom. Take care, Tracy.
Thank you, Greg.
Thanks, Tracy.
Hi, Debbie.
You've been listening to the Third Generation Networking Podcast with your hosts, Greg and Debbie Peters. If you'd like to learn more about our new virtual training programs, go to connextnation.com.